Heavenly Father, we gather here with a desire to meet you. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your ministry of going to the cross and dying for us and paying the debt that we owed. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to illuminate God's truth to us, illuminate the message of the gospel to us, and draw us into an intimacy with our saving God. We ask that today, right now, that you would be here ministering to each of us, opening the word to us, setting us free from both the things of the world in the flesh and of the devil that have held us back. That you'd be bringing a new level of understanding, a new level of faith. We ask in Jesus Christ's holy name, amen. Well, I invite you to turn in your scriptures with me specifically to the epistle reading for today. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll also be looking back at chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in the city of Corinth, and he's giving them some instruction. And sometimes as we read this particular passage, we almost feel a little scolded, but he's scolding them to make a point. And hopefully we are not guilty of the same offenses, and so we don't need to take this as negatively, but we need to see the teaching and make sure we're responding appropriately. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 17, Paul writes, "But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself, that is why many of you are weak or ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come." Paul wants us to fully participate in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Paul is inviting us to respond appropriately and be involved rightly in the sharing of the Lord's Supper. When we share in the Lord's Supper, there are miraculous things that take place. There are people on either side of a spectrum who either completely discount the Lord's Supper as having no impact at all, and at the most it's just a remembrance. There are other people that so overemphasize the Lord's Supper that they think it's the only thing that matters, and that by taking it, that in itself produces all the work of Christ in us. In the middle, we find a position of faith, a position of saying, we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us on the cross. We put our trust in Him and we participate in this beautiful reenactment of sharing in His body and sharing in His blood on a regular basis so that we're participating with Him and sharing in what He accomplished for us. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, we're experiencing a connection with Christ, a connection with Christ that has great historical roots. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, where the Passover is first talked about, explained, and then participated in. The Passover celebration was when God told the Israelites to prepare for a time of great dread that was happening to the Egyptians, but a time of great rescue that was happening for the people of God. It was a time when the angel of death was going to pass over the land of Egypt, bringing death to all the firstborn. It was a plague to force the Egyptians to recognize the power of God, submit to the will of God, and allow His people, the Israelites, to leave the captivity of Egypt and head towards the promised land of God. But during the outpouring of that plague, the Lord provided for His people. And the Passover celebration recognizes what God had done. They were instructed to take a lamb, a one-year-old lamb, to kill it at the same time for the whole community at twilight, take its blood, put it on the doorposts of their house, and then stay inside all night long, having a meal together, which we call the Passover meal, where that lamb was eaten. It was roasted, it was eaten in its entirety. Anything not eaten was burned up before the sun rose. It was a time of recognizing God's provision. Through the sacrifice of the lamb, the people of Israel were saved, were delivered during this time of the plague when the angel of death was passing over their houses. It was at this meal, the reenactment of this meal, that the Lord Jesus Christ brought the further instruction, which we understand as the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, or the Eucharist. So as we participate in Holy Communion, we're celebrating, we're connecting to something that goes all the way back to that first Passover, which conservative theologians think is about 1400 B.C., So as we celebrate with broken bread and a cup of the grape juice, we are celebrating and participating in something that dates all the way back to 1400 B.C. But it's not just that event. It's, of course, when Jesus Christ took the bread and broke it and took the cup and invited the people to participate in it that we're connecting to. So 2,000 years ago, we're connecting to that event. But we're not just connecting to something from 1400 B.C. or 33 A.D. We're connecting with something that every day God is doing for us. So there's a supernatural connection, a historical connection, and a participation in something that God has done and is doing and is going to continue to do as we move into the future. The text says, remember Christ. Remember what He has done. Remember the work of God. Remember Him going to the cross. We're taking something from the past and bring it into our present consciousness. We're considering what God has accomplished and how it affects us now. We're taking something that was a fact of history and a real event and saying that that thing in the past affects me now and it will also affect my future. There's a celebration that we are in the midst of God's salvation plan. We are participants in what God is doing as we connect to Him through this event of the Lord's Supper. See, we're connecting with His life right now. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 explains how the life is in the blood. And so when God's plan of salvation unfolds, he he revealed that if we want to participate in the life of God, we actually do so by participating in the blood of God. Jesus took on flesh. Jesus took on flesh so that now he was a life, a living human with body and blood. And he then gave that body, shed that blood for us. And we participate in that shed blood. The life of Christ was in the blood of Christ. We share in the blood of Christ so that we share in the life of Christ. In other words, right now, not just in looking back in history, but right now we are connecting to God in the present through the blood of Christ. It's a faith step that is acted out on an ongoing basis. And as we share in Holy Communion, as we hold the cup and a reminder of the words of Christ who said, "This is my blood shed for you," we are participating in that. We are sharing in that. We are part of that, not just of grape juice or wine in some traditions, but we are participating in God's life, Christ's life. What does that mean for us? It means that everything that is a description of or a characteristic of the life of Christ is what we now are invited to share in. As you read about Christ and think about all the different aspects of his life and who he is, all of that we are invited to share in. Read your Gospels and see that Christ lived a holy life. As we share in his blood, we share in his life, we share in his holiness. We see that Christ came to conquer death. And as we receive the blood of Christ through the Holy Communion, we're receiving the life of Christ, so we're receiving the health of Christ, the healing of Christ. We're receiving the forgiveness of Christ. This blood is shed for the forgiveness of sins, Jesus said. So that as Jesus was victorious over all temptation and gave in to none of the tricks of the devil, we now participate through the blood in the life of Christ, receiving the forgiveness of Christ, the holiness of Christ, the ability to overcome sin's temptations. Jesus lived a life of joy. As we share in the Holy Communion cup of blessing, representing the blood of Christ, we share in the life of Christ, which includes the joy of Christ. Christians who receive the life of Christ receive the joy of Christ, so they should be living above all the trials and temptations and all the pains and the hurts of the world. It doesn't mean that we don't experience them, but it means that in the midst of experiencing them, we can have the joy of Christ to be overcoming them. One of the saddest things and one of the worst tactics of the devil is to bring us a mindset of misery or a perspective that focuses on the pain or this idea that we have to live as defeated or that it's the things that hurt that should be where our focus is or that we're to be walking through life with a doom and gloom mindset looking at how the world's falling apart. Or our body's falling apart, or our relationship's falling apart. All of that may be true, but as people who share in the blood of Christ, share in the life of Christ, we actually share in the joy of Christ. We can be joyous in the midst of great pain. We can be filled with hope in what looks like a hopeless situation. We can be walking in a spiritual victory even when there's physical or worldly calamity going on around us. It's not natural, it's supernatural. It's Christ's life in us, giving us victory, even though the world seems to be spinning out of control. We do so because the life of Christ is in us. And every time we receive the blood sacrifice of Christ, we receive his victory, his joy, his health, his righteousness, his peace that passes understanding. So we're sharing in that. It's as if his life is now in us. And every time we take Holy Communion, we're imbibing that juice, representing to us again and again the truth that we are taking in Christ's life. Paul writes it this way in his letter to the Galatians. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I actually live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. One of the other miracles is that as we share in what we call Holy Communion, it's communion with God, but also with one another. That's why Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, chastises them for not participating in Holy Communion in a way that brought unity, in a way that brought everyone together at the same time to take together the elements of communion. Because the emphasis is on fellowship with God and fellowship with the body of God, which we call the church, the believers. So in the miracle of Holy Communion, we are celebrating the communion we have with one another. I was reminded of our time when our churches did not meet during the COVID era. And how us and other churches encourage people to participate in the Lord's Supper at home. And while that certainly is allowed, and certainly is something that can be a great benefit to us as we do that as the individual families or even as an individual, there is the greater purpose of fostering community and unity that comes through taking the Lord's Supper together. Today we're going to take the Lord's Supper by passing the elements down the aisle. So in other words, you're going to be giving the tray to someone next to you. And they're going to be holding it, and then all at once we're going to take the bread, and all at once, a little later, we're going to take the cup. When it's done this way, that point of unity and togetherness is emphasized a little more strongly than in some of the other ways that the Lord's Supper is participated in around the world. But we're going to celebrate that we are a church. We are a body of believers. We are people saved by God, brought into God's family. That makes us brothers and sisters with one another. That makes us connected. And as I receive the reminder of Christ's death on the cross, I'm recognizing that my friends, my neighbors, they're also receiving the reminder of the work of Christ on the cross. They're also receiving the body. They're also receiving the blood. It's us together that make the obvious, the seen body of Christ on the earth. And so as people who have received the miracle of salvation and the miracle of a reminder and a participation again in the work of Christ, we are then those who are empowered by Christ to be his agents on the planet. We are in this community to be a blessing to this community, first to one another, and then through us to the people around us. So we are participating in Christ's work together, celebrating what he has accomplished. But there's one more miracle, and this is a future miracle. It's the miracle that as we regularly receive the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, as we share in this Lord's Supper, this meal together, it's a reminder that a meal awaits us. Revelation chapter 19 talks about the great wedding feast of the Lamb, where at the wrapping up of time, after all the things that need to take place have been accomplished, we are going to be brought into his presence, sharing with Christ a meal of intimacy, a meal of fellowship, a meal of joy, a meal of realizing in the most full way that intimacy with Christ. His body broken, his blood poured out. We consuming him and being with him forever. It's a miracle that awaits us. So we look back at what Christ has accomplished throughout history, all the way back to the first Passover. We look back to the Lord's Supper being enacted there around 33 AD. We see the present reality as we walk in forgiveness and walk in all the characteristics of Christ as we receive His life for now. And we look ahead to what awaits us as the salvation is experienced in an ongoing walk until one day it all comes to conclusion. As we celebrate together in the great wedding feast of the Lamb, you are invited today to receive the body of Christ, to receive the blood of Christ, to see that new faith, faith strengthened, faith encouraged, as you participate in the body and blood of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there are things that we do on such a regular basis, we stop thinking about them. We need you to continue to give us revelation. We need you to continue to open your word. You to continue to pour faith into us. As we participate in this meal together, we ask that you would be the one serving us, that you'd be the one that we're taking in, that you'd be the one that's causing our souls to be enlarged, our spirits increased. By your presence, we choose to participate in your body and in your blood. We choose to participate in you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name.